Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here it comes. And a drive to left. Grand slam time.
Len Casper.
That's Len.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, baby.
TV voice of the Cubs.
Here's a base hit. Zobrist scores. Here comes a throw. Baez scores. Cubs win.
Slightly above average bassist.
Len Casper playing the guitar, really into it.
Len Casper with Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
Just got a little summery in here, didn't it?
It's like summer.
Feels like summer. Let's talk baseball with Len Casper. He's on Twitter at Len Casper, and he joins us now on the Score. How you been, Len? What's going on, man?
I've been good, guys. Nice to talk to you and make the transition from football to baseball. A couple of weeks from now, I'll be down in Arizona and actually calling the first couple of games on the Score with Ron and Zach. So looking forward to that.
And we will be joining you down there in the first week of March. I don't know if you've heard the story.
But you're invited to the mansion.
Yeah,
then.
This show and the afternoon show, we are all staying in a giant sprawling mansion together.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I've done that radio trip before. I want to say New Orleans, 96 or 7 when the Packers were there. And we had like 12 people in a cramped space. And I would say it was good and it was bad and it was hilarious.
Well, this is not going to be a cramped space, judging from all the photos. So we're gonna have our run of a large compound. So you're certainly going to be invited to come over and grill out with us. But
I'll stop by.
You have always been ahead of some of these rule changes and a forward thinker when it comes to baseball. It may not happen quite this year. But are you of the mind that the fact that we're already at this point, that there is reasonable consideration being given to what's referred to as the universal designated hitter for next year, that it's sooner rather than later and definitely now inevitable?
Yes. Yeah, I felt that for a few years. It certainly could be a bargaining chip with negotiations regarding other rules changes between the players' union and the owners. I think with all the interleague play, first of all, I like the National League style of play better than the American League. So I get painted by some as a DH lover. I don't like it, but I do think it's inevitable. And what has tipped me past the line is the fact that we have 19 to 20 games a year of interleague play. We're already swapping leagues and rules to the point where it makes sense to have the same rules throughout the major leagues. It would be like if the AFC and NFC had different rules, and the non-conference games, you played with 12 guys or 10 guys. It just gets to a point where I think we need to even it out. There are no league presidents anymore. There are no American League and National League umpires. Everything is under the umbrella of Major League Baseball. So once that happens, I think the distinctions between the leagues kind of go away, and it's the last thing standing, so to speak. And then the practical part of it, and you could ask a National League general manager, is that when Shohei Ohtani came over and said, all right, everybody make their pitch, he wasn't going to the National League. He was going to the American League because he could DH and he could pitch. I think you lose out on certain guys in the National League who are more DH worthy candidates than other players. So in a small way, I think it would also level the playing field in terms of being able to procure players. And then the other part for the Chicago Cubs and their fans, Kyle Schwarber is exhibit A why I think you would want the designated hitter.
Some of the brushback, Len, to a universal DH has been the idea that National League owners wouldn't really want to add, on average, an $18 million player. If you average up the American League teams with their DHs, that's about the salary. Whether it's from famous people or just anybody who watches baseball, that's kind of been a brushback. I wonder if you think National League owners would add a player of that size, dollar-wise.
Well, I think we are going to be at a point of adding a player to the roster anyway. It sounds like the 26-man roster is gaining momentum, and the other side of that would be the 28-man roster. That's the idea I've heard in September, as opposed to 40. So I think we're going to add payroll as it is.
Yeah.
And while there may be a few National League owners who don't want to do it, I would be surprised if there is a lot of pushback to it. Like I said, I just think that inevitably we are going to be in a place where the rules are the same no matter where you play, whether it's a National League, American League situation. And the other side of the expense coin, and it's not going to happen in the next year or two. I think it would only come after expansion if and when they add two more teams, is I think baseball will be aligned more geographically than anything else. Mm-hmm. And you could still have technically an American and a National League. But I think a lot of the Midwest teams will be lumped together. The teams out west will be lumped together, Northeast and you know, Atlantic, Southeast. And that will cut down on travel costs. I think that's becoming a big topic of conversation as well with the long schedule we have.
If a three-batter minimum for relief pitchers is indeed enacted, how do you see that playing out? How do you foresee that affecting games?
I don't know. I haven't really fully contemplated it. It would seemingly make the left-handed specialist a little less important, and the idea of a Steve Cishek would become maybe more important, a guy who pitches well to both sides of the plate. I don't really have an opinion on that. I guess I would be fine with that rule, but I don't necessarily feel like I would die on that hill if they did it. You know what I mean? I trust that if they do it, there are good reasons to do it, and strategically I'm not exactly sure how it would affect the game, but I know guys like Joe Maddon would figure out a way to adjust and hopefully exploit it to some extent.
Talking over the proposed rule changes to baseball from the union and the league alike with Cubs voice Len Casper here on Bernstein and McKnight. Some have posited that a reason for the slow offseason this year, Len, has been that maybe people knew that a DH could be coming for the coming season. Does that make any sense to you? Do you see that as a possible explanation for why we're seeing so many players still unsigned?
That would surprise me. It really would. This offseason has mirrored last offseason, and I think a lot of people wondered if that was just a one-time thing, but with Machado and Harper still sitting out there and a lot of other really intriguing and good players with long track records, I just think we're getting to a point where, you know, that long-term deal has become a thing of the past. And the one way to get around that, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised if both Harper and Machado have it, is the player out. So you might end up seeing a 7, 8, 9-year deal with an out for a player maybe after the first or second year. And what might happen is those guys may sign long-term deals that look like almost NFL deals, right, where the guarantee is basically the first year or two, and the player will decide whether or not he wants to make that same salary beyond. But am I surprised both guys are still sitting waiting? I'm very surprised.
Larger picture, if you made the comment that some of these could be bargaining chips, just the fact that the league and the union are talking makes me feel a little bit better, because there's a lot brewing behind the scenes and a lot of tension that is underlying the relationship between ownership, management, and labor right now. Do you think a work stoppage remains inevitable, or is any little bit of detente that we're seeing a sign that perhaps both sides understand how damaging it could be?
I think you make a great point. I don't have a lot to add to it. I agree with everything you said. I know you formed it somewhat as a question, but I would like to think a work stoppage is not inevitable. I think it would be horrible for the sport. We saw what happened to it in 1994. The fact they are talking is a very good thing. And I also think the fact that the commissioner has had the right here these last couple of years to implement some things unilaterally because they had presented those things to the union the year before, and he has declined to do so. And I think that's a good thing. I think that has the big picture in mind and the idea that we are not going to jam something down the players' throats. So any of these discussions, and whether the rules changes you like or not, I think you should be encouraged as a baseball fan that they are trying to get it together and do the right thing for everybody.
Some of the things you mentioned, Len, that Rob Manfred could jam down the players' throats are a 20-second pitch clock, moving mound visits from 6 to 5, or putting runners on second base in extra innings for minor leaguers and for spring training games. If he enacts one or all three of those after some decent good faith negotiations, some things that go one way or the other, but that he has to use the hammer, are you more amenable to one or many of these, or are all these kind of kicks to the groin for some of this negotiation?
The mound visit thing is a big nothing. If there was one game we had all year that I can recall where a team used all six mound visits, that was probably it. So to go 6-5 would be no big deal. That's number one. Number two, spring training, 10th inning, doesn't happen anymore. Managers look at each other after nine innings in a tie game and they go, we're good. So I don't think the runner at second is going to be a big deal. Although, if they do implement that for spring training, I do think we would play a 10th inning just to see how it works. And then what was the 20-second pitch clock? I guess I'm for it in theory, and I'm told that it works at the minor league level. I think initially it will get a ton of pushback. But I think over the course of 2 to 3 years, it would just become part of the deal and we wouldn't notice it that much.
As a longtime employee of the Chicago Cubs, how did you feel when you first read through the series of emails and responses from Joe Ricketts?
Well, I did see the story and it was really upsetting to read for sure. I will simply say this, that story doesn't reflect or correlate in any way to how the Chicago Cubs are operated by Tom, Laura, Todd, and Pete. I know all of them well, especially Tom, and I can say unequivocally that they're great owners of the Cubs. They will be for a long time to come. I wish this story didn't reflect on them because it isn't about them specifically. It's about their father, but I do understand that for many it does. We all have to answer for things people close to us do and say, but I can assure you they're taking steps already to make sure people know that this story does not reflect on them and the way they run the ball club.
Thanks, Len. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Talk to you very soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.